So Philippians 1 verse 12 says this, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel."
Mayroon mga aklat na sa paglipas ng mahabang panahon ay patuloy pa rin napapakinabangan. Isa sa mga aklat na ito ay ang nailimbag noong 1678 at patuloy pa rin ang copy production nito hanggang sa kasalukuyan. Ito ay mababasa sa 200 different languages at ang nakakahanga dito ay naisulat ito sa loob ng bilangguan. Ito ay pinakakilalang aklat ni John Bunyan. It's a work that many of us will know and love. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. Si John Bunyan ay isang Puritan writer na nakakulong dahil sa pagpapahagi ng Ebanghelyo ni Jesucristo. Pero isang araw, siya ay inalok ng kalayaan kapalit na hindi na siya uli mangangaral ng Ebanghelyo ni Jesus. Well, sumagot si Bunyan, "Pakawalan ninyo ako ngayon at bukas na bukas ay muling akong mangangaral." He stood firm. He said, "I will not recant." Sa katunayan, nangaral siya sa courtyard ng bilangguan. Nagbabahagi siya araw-araw sa lahat ng kanyang mga kasamang inmates, maging ang guard jail na nakulong sa kanya sa solitary confinement. And yet, it was in that quiet spot that Bunyan spoke the loudest.
Kung sa tingin ng iba, ang pangkakakulong kay John Bunyan ay isang dagok at setback sa Kristyonismo, actually, ito ay naging kabaligtaran. And it actually served to do what it says here in this passage, further the gospel.
Kinasangkapang pa siya ng ating Diyos upang maipaglaganap ang Ebanghelyo saan man dako.
What seemed to be a great setback for the Christian church was actually the very means that God used to build His church. But you know, don't you? Si Bunyan ay isa lamang sa maraming tao lingkod ng Diyos na nakaranas ng matinding kahirapan. Ngunit, nagpamalas ng malaking pagtitiwala sa Diyos sa gitna ng madidilim pagsubok sa buhay bilang kabayaran sa kanilang paglilingkod na mag-advance ang kaharian ng Diyos. At ngayon sa ating pagbabalik sa ating pag-aaral sa sulat ni Pablo sa Filipos, ito na ang ating pang-apat na mensahe. Gaya ni Bunyan, si Pablo ay nakapilanggo din habang sinulat ang liham sa Filipos. Parehas din na pinagbabawalan sila na mangaral ng Ebanghelyo. Nakarating sa Filipos ang balita na arestado at nilitis si Pablo sa harap ni Felix and Festus and Agrippa. Sa umpisa pa lang alam na ng mga taga-Filipos na ito ay isang maling accusation kay Apostle Pablo. Mas madali sa English. Accusation kay Apostle Pablo. And that now he's awaiting possible execution. Things have got really bad for this man, Paul. And nasa ikalawang Korinto, chapter 11, ang buong detalye ng mga naging karanasan ni Pablo. And you can go back and you can read the long list of sufferings that this man endured for the sake of the gospel of his Savior Jesus Christ. And to be honest with you, we would be really hard-pressed to find a single man in recorded history who has suffered as much as how Paul had suffered since his conversion to Christ on that Damascus road.
At ang mga kapatiran sa iglesia ay napalitaan ang mga ito at sila ay understandably nag-alala para sa kalagayan ni Pablo.
The church was anxious. They were beginning to ask one another, "What is happening to him? And what does that mean for us?"
Ito ang nagtulak sa iglesia na
ibukod si Epaphroditus upang maglayag at pumunta sa Roma upang siya ang maging tagapaghatid na information sa pagitan ng iglesia sa Filipos at kay Apostle Pablo.
And we actually have this morning, let's never lose sight of the great privilege of this, Paul's response to the church. The word for word letter is not preserved in a museum, but it's here upon our laps. We can read what Paul had to say to them, and what Paul, therefore, by extension, has to say to us.
Ang sulat na ito ay lumipot mula Roma papunta sa Filipos, 100 miles. Tawid dagat dala-dala ni Epaphroditus ay lumilipot sa iba't ibang iglesia of all ages. At ngayon, ating pinag-aralan at pinapakinabangan 2,000 years later.
And ang sulat na ito ay naisalin sa iba't ibang dialects at languages. You think how amazing it is that I've got an English Bible here, you've got Tagalog Bibles there. We can all understand the Word of God in a way that is most easy for us. And it's still as relevant to Filipinos today as it was to Philippians back then. And what's one of the ways that we have been describing the letter so far? What's the one word that we've used to describe the book of Philippians? Joy, isn't it?
Kagalakan.
God has given us this book to encourage us and to stir up a greater measure of joy within this church. And Paul is full to overflowing. He's bursting with joy for the church at Philippi. They held a special place in his heart. And yet, he's still stuck in prison. He doesn't know if he will ever be released.
Pero dito sa simula ng verse 12, pinapaalam ni Pablo sa mga kapatiran,
I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel.
Ito ang isang lesson na gusto kong ating matutuhan ngayong umaga, na ang ating mga setbacks sa buhay at karanasan ay kaparaanan ng ating Diyos upang siya ay malulwalhati.
You may be locked up in chains this morning, figuratively or literally, but the gospel is not changed. The gospel is not changed.
So, sa tatlong talata ngayong umaga, let's consider una sa verse 12, Paul's observation that the gospel is gaining control.
That's our first point. The gospel is gaining control.
Bagamat ang ebanghelyo ni Jesus ay nakararanas ng opposition o mga kalaban sa iba't ibang lugar, ngunit hindi ito napipigilan sa pagyabong at paglaganap kaysa sa dati. Isang sa mga pinagmamalaking pinuno naming mga Briton ay si Winston Churchill.
He's a great hero for many British people.
Bagamat siya ay may kaliitan sa anyo, ay matapang niyang pinangunahan ang aming bansa sa tinatawag ng Dark Years of History.
Siya ang mastermind, ang nagplano kung papaano papagsakin at talunin si Adolf Hitler at mga Nazis noong World War II. And yet, I don't know if you knew this, but in July 1945, despite his great heroic status today, he was very surprisingly voted out of power in the next election.
Bagamat napakalaki ng kanyang naiambag sa kasaysayan sa buong mundo,
much to everyone's surprise, in that month of 1945, siya ay natalo sa putohan to remain prime minister. And apparently, as the election result was being announced, his wife, who was by his side, turned to him and said this. She said, "Don't worry, dear. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise." To which Churchill famously replied, "If it is, it is certainly very well disguised."
Sa buhay, minsan ay talagang ganyan, di ba? Hindi nakikita o nakakalimutan ang mga magagandang bagay na ating nagawa at ang naiiwan o natatandaan at nang naaalala ay ang maling nagawa. Sa sitwasyon ni Pablo, siya ay nakakulong sa Roma. Tinanggalan ng kalayaan ng na isagawa ang kanyang mga missionary journey. His freedom has been taken away. His friends have essentially abandoned him. It's the kind of scenario where we might look at it and say, if this is a blessing in disguise, it is certainly very well disguised, isn't it? You think of all the places that Paul could have gone. Think of all the people that he could have reached. If he was just let out of his prison cell, how effective must have his ministry been without the arrest? How many souls might Paul have won for Christ if he was out of the chains? There's no way, if you and I were the ones controlling the narrative, that we would ever put Paul in prison. And yet, friends, this is the sovereign will of God. This is no accident. But this is God's purpose for Paul and for many who would be reached through the gospel in his witness. And Paul's conclusion, dito sa verse 12, is so unexpected, isn't it? It's so unexpected. You see, counterintuitively, Paul is not without hope in his cell. His external situation has had no effect on his internal disposition. Sa mga sports fans, naririto ngayong umaga, isang malaking disappointment para sa iyo kung ang star player ng iyong favorite team gets injured. It's a disappointment, di ba? Well, in the spiritual sense, parang ganito ang naiisip natin sa nangyari kay Apostle Pablo. Siya ang primary leader ng mission team. Subalit, Paul doesn't have that high opinion of himself, does he? He doesn't see himself as the star player on God's team. He is humbly and he is profoundly aware that even the best of men are men at best. Even the best of men are men at best. Yes, God uses us, but no, God does not need us. If God doesn't use you, he'll use the person next to you. And marahil ay pinahintulot ng Diyos na ma-sideline si Pablo sa bilangguan upang maipakita ng Diyos na hindi natatalo o magagapi ang pagsulong ng Ebanghelyo. Kikilos at kilos ang gawain ng Diyos at siya ay gagamit ng ibang manggagawa. Now we have the blessing today of knowing the end of the story, don't we? We know how this story ends. We know that Paul actually does get released and he does go on to continue to do great things for the kingdom outside of his cell. But you know, the church at Philippi, they didn't know what would happen next. There seemed to be no happy ending. There seemed to be, I wonder if you know this expression, no silver lining on the dark clouds of this experience. And yet instead of offering up these empty cliches like, well, I guess everything happens for a reason, doesn't it? Isn't that so annoying when people say that? Everything happens for a reason, brother. I think that's not what I need right now. Well, Paul wants them to know that God is at work. He gives them gospel truth. God is at work. Ang lahat ng mga bagay at pangyayari ay may hintulutan ng Diyos sa kanyang mayamang providensya. Hindi aksidente ang pakakulong ni Pablo. From the beginning, God has purposed for these trials to result in great gospel good. God has sovereignly ordained for Paul's humiliation to result in Christ's exaltation. And that is very easy for us to accept this morning when everything is going well. When we are not the ones at the receiving end of the trial, when life is smooth and easy, these truths, they make sense to us, don't they? After all, we see it at the cross. Something tragic, the crucifixion of our dear Lord and Savior, secured something glorious, the salvation of many from the power of sin. Subalit kapag ikaw na mismo ang nasa kalagayan ni Pablo, kapag ikaw ang dumadaan sa matinding pagsubok at hindi pabor sa iyo ang sitwasyon, what about when you are the target? Parehas pa ba kagaya ni Pablo ka mag-isip?
Have we got this morning in TNC a Pauline perspective? Do we have a Pauline perspective?
Papaano kaya kung sa ating iglesia mismo ang sinulatan ni Pablo? Baka isa-isa na tayong nagre-reklamo sa mga mali accusation at parating at
we say, this is an injustice. This is wrong. This should not be happening.
Minsan habang tayo ay kasalukuyang dumadanas ng pagsubok dahil sa ating pananampalataya ay parang tayo ay nakarap sa isang stained or smoke-glassed window.
You know what I mean when I say that? We call it stained glass, you call it smoke glass. Tama ba yan? You have your face pressed up to a stained glass window. What does that stained glass window look like when you're right up close? Well, it looks random. It looks disjointed. It's just a splash of colors. It doesn't make sense. But what happens when you take a few steps back from it? Well, now you see the bigger picture, don't you? From a distance, you can appreciate the skill of the artist in putting all of those little fragments of glass together. Well, Paul, in spite of everything that he has been subjected to, has found ways to take steps back and to see the situation for what it truly is. He is able to recognize that for what for most people would seem random and disjointed and messy and totally confusing is actually a detailed masterpiece. Paul sees the beauty of that stained glass window, and he has identified the fact that God, like a skillful artist, is working gospel good through his own imprisonment.
And ito ay isang exhortation ni Pablo, hindi lang sa iglesia ng Filipos, kundi pati na rin sa lahat ng iglesia na nag-aaral ng epistles na ito.
In the midst of his trial, Paul can see the bigger picture. And what is the bigger picture for this man? Well, quite simply, it is the progress of the gospel. The progress of the gospel. God has decreed that every effort that has been made to obstruct the growth of the gospel is actually the very means of causing it to flourish. It's almost ironic, isn't it? That the men who were seeking to suppress the gospel are actually just holding it down so that it will explode and spread throughout the known world. And Paul, he's so intoxicated by the gospel. He's so driven by the mission. He's so devoted to the Lord that he essentially says to the church, "My chains are irrelevant. My chains are irrelevant. There is no, oh, why has this happened to me?" He doesn't say that, but rather there is this joyful acknowledgement that God's plan of advancing the gospel is the big picture. And Paul is willing to be a link in a chain to that grand purpose.
Ang tunay na kahangahang kina Pablo at Bunyan ang kanilang conviction na hindi sila mapipigilan sa pangangalan ng Ebanghelyo ni Kristo. Sila ay hindi papipigil at hindi nila kailanman iko-compromise ang Ebanghelyo.
They're not going to deny their Savior.
Si Pablo ay hindi na ang dating manguusik, galit sa mga Kristiyano at nakahandang wasakin ang iglesia.
He wants to totally wipe Christians from the face of the earth. From the earth,
nasumpungan ni Pablo si Kristo. Nakilala niya si Jesus ang kanyang iniusik at magmula noon ay binago na ang Diyos ang buhay niya. Siya na ngayon at literally ang ambassador in chains. An ambassador in chains, ayon sa Ephesians chapter 6 verse 20.
Even under lock and key, He is resolved to serve and defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we must ask the question, in light of these experiences, in light of Paul's example, what about us? Are we the same? What do the people who know you best and love you most have to say about your priorities?
Sa panahon ngayon, maraming taong ang may mga bucket list.
Maybe this morning you have a bucket list.
Mga listahan ng gustong gawin ng tao bago pa siya manghina o pumikit ang mga mata.
Well, kung ikaw ay isang Kristiyano, ano ang iyong bucket list?
Kasama ba ang paglaganap ng Ebanghelyo?
Where does it come on your list of priorities? You may have heard of isang pioneer missionary na si David Livingstone. I think I've mentioned him before. He's a wonderful Christian missionary from the past.
Na kailangan pang gumamit ng tabak upang ma-clean niya ang dadaanan niya pupunta sa malawak na jungle ng Africa.
And there he is, tearing his way through, pioneering so that the unreached people groups might be reached with the gospel of Jesus.
Upang ihatid ang gospel sa mga katutubo. And parang ganito ang sinabi ni Pablo sa verse 12. Ang kanyang pagkakagulong ay hindi hadlang upang mapatuloy ang pagsulong ng gospel sa mga hindi pa nito ang naaabot.
He's taking the gospel to the unreached people groups of the city of Rome. And these things that you would think ordinarily would hinder the gospel are actually just like David Livingstone, pioneering a way through so that Christ might be known and worshipped. In fact, Paul is not being vague here, is he? He doesn't say, oh, I imagine that probably all of these things have potential for good. He doesn't say, I really hope and pray that the gospel will gain control. No, he knows it, doesn't he? There is clear evidence here in the following verses, because not only is the gospel gaining control, but more wonderfully and more specifically, ikalawa, the guards are getting converted. The gospel is gaining control and the guards are getting converted. Verse 13, it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. The first of two ways in which Paul can be certain of the furtherance of the gospel is right here in verse 13.
Nakakatiyak si Pablo na kahit ang mesahero ay nakakulong, ngunit ang mensahe ay nagpapatuloy sa labas ng bilangguan.
The members of the emperor's bodyguard, who were really the powers behind the throne, many of them are being won to Christ.
Hindi natin tiyak ang eksaktong bilang ng mga Roma guards, ngunit sa last chapter ng sulat, chapter 4, ay sinasabi ni Pablo na nagpapaabot ng pagbati sa inyo mula sa mga kapatid, lalong-lalo na ang mga nasa sambahayan ni Caesar.
Caesar's household have been reached with the gospel. I mean, if Paul wanted to reach them in the past before his imprisonment, I mean, that would have been almost impossible. How on earth could he get an audience with the king? But here in his prison cell, somehow, through God's providence, he is able to do just that. But can you imagine? Put yourself in Paul's sandals. Can you imagine being made to wait under house arrest for 2 whole years? And to have strapped on your wrists 18-inch chains that never came off. In fact, it's worse for Paul here because he's not chained up to a wall. But because of the apparent danger that he posed to society, he is attached 24/7 to a rotating Praetorian guard. Every minute of every day, he is chained up to a guard. And every 6 hours, 4 shifts a day, one of these 9,000 gods would swap over. And ayon sa kasaysayan ng mga nagbabantay kay Pablo, ay selected Roman guard na personal na handpicked ng Emperor Nero mismo upang nakatiyak na hindi siya makakatakas. They were the best of the best. These were not newbies, but they were experienced men. And they were the ones who were assigned to Paul. But rather than Paul complaining about what is going on, he's claiming the gospel opportunity.
Ang mga nasabing bantay na kay Pablo, ang siyang tinutukoy niya sa chapter 4, sila ang mga naging recipient ng makapangyarihan pakilos ng Ebanghelyo ni Kristo.
But just imagine for a moment as a new guard is brought into Paul's cell. And they're fastened with him together in chains. I don't know, but I imagine there's a big smile on the apostle's face and a prayer of thanks. Oh, here is another one who cannot get away. You talk about a captive audience. Around the clock, on each and every shift, Paul is chained to a new congregation. He had hundreds and hundreds of opportunities to share the gospel to an audience that were coming to him and could not run away from him. Paul could not have dreamed this up or planned it any better, could he? See how wonderful the providence of God is? Friends, when you face a severe trial in your life, try to take some steps back and to realize that God is in control. God may have a plan for your life that may not make sense in the moment, but it will in eternity. Every week I'm in the local prison, or every 2 weeks in the local prison in Santa Maria, and every time I come back I say to my wife, 132 people heard the gospel today. And they couldn't run away. They just had to listen. They're a captive audience. And so it is with Paul. There he is. They couldn't switch off. They had to be alert. And they just had to listen to him, whether they liked it or not. You see, if Paul had been out there in the marketplace, the gospel may have gone to many places, but never quite like this. Paul now has access into Caesar's household, because as soon as these bodyguards are released, they go straight back to the palace. And just imagine, habang ang mga bantay ni Pablo ay naka-duty, si Pablo ay nagbibigay patotoo sa mga jail guards na ito day and night. Araw-araw, palitan ang mga bantay. At ginagamit ni Pablo itong opportunity mag-Bible study. Ang salita ng Diyos ay parang spreading wildfire sa prison cell. And just think of the follow-up conversations. Maybe I'm going too far here. I'm just imagining all these wonderful things that must have been taking place behind the scenes. But just think of the follow-up conversations in the army barracks amongst the guards as they say to one another, "Hey, have you done a shift over at Paul's place yet? I have never come across a prisoner quite like that."
Ito ang epekto ng pagkakakulong ni Pablo. Nakaraon siya ng jail ministry. Siya ay nakatanikala, ngunit ang gospel, ang ebanghelyo ni Kristo ay hindi maaaring lagyan ng tanikala. Ang mga dating astig, mga maton at mga kamundong mga kawal Romano ay na-transformed, nagpasakop sa paghahari ni Kristo.
They're coming away from that proud military culture and they're coming into gospel culture. Now I would love to have heard the conversations between Paul and the guards. You know, I think, am I going too far here? Maybe you can tell me to stop if I'm imagining too much. But I want to imagine that in those 2 years of Roman imprisonment, if somebody was there to write down every word that Paul said, we would have some amazing systematic theology to learn from today. Because day and night, there he is teaching these guards about the gospel, the birth and the life
and the death and the resurrection and the ascension and the coming again of Jesus Christ would no doubt have been consistently proclaimed in that dark prison cell. The light of Christ would have lit up that room. Paul never wasted an opportunity. He never wasted an opportunity with any soldier. He was always ready to give a reason for the hope that was within him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And yet, more than all of this, it wasn't just Paul's words, but it was Paul's life that spoke to these men. His behavior matched his message. What a challenge for you and I this morning. Many of us, we have great theology in our minds. We'd be great at an apologetic ministry. We'd be great at defending the doctrine of Jesus Christ, but our life tells a different story. And yet not so for the man in chains. There was a consistency about Paul. Something set him apart from everybody else. He was in chains, yet he was so full of unexplainable, infectious joy. As he says here in verse 13 to the Philippians, it became known. It became known to the Philippians, to the guards, that his chains were not in Caesar, but in Christ. That always strikes me. Paul is not going to give credit to Rome. He's not going to say, yeah, Caesar put me here. No, Caesar did not put me here. Caesar was a pawn in God's hand to bring me to this cell so that I can preach the gospel. Christ has put Paul here by divine appointment. These are Christ's chains. How interesting that the chains that were designed to keep Paul bound up and silenced are the very means by which his message is proclaimed. Kagaya rin sa naging karanasan ni Joseph sa Genesis kabanata 50 verse 20. What does he say to his brothers? The ones who had treated him so badly and sold him into slavery. Well, he says to them, masama ang layunin ng tao, subalit ginamit ng makapangyarihang Diyos para sa mabuti. You see the contrast? You meant it for bad. God meant it for good. Or sa 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9, sinabi ni Pablo. This is so key as a parallel text to Philippians 1. He says this, ako'y nagdurusa na parang isang masamang kriminal. Ngunit ang salita ng Diyos ay hindi maikukulong. The gospel is not chained. And I wonder, friends, when we are presented with unexpected chances to speak the gospel, do we do it? Do we do it? Does Jesus ever get a mention in our day-to-day conversations with the people that God has providentially placed in your life? Are we too shy, or are we courageous in our evangelism? I'm not talking about your personality type. You can be an extrovert or an introvert and yet used greatly for the kingdom of God. Don't waste the opportunity. Our friends, none of us are ever going to be chained to a Roman soldier. I don't think. But maybe some of you this morning, you do feel that you are in chains. Maybe it's a boring job. Maybe it's a difficult relationship. Maybe it's a sickbed. Maybe it's a seemingly endless battle with a mental or physical illness. Whatever it might be in your life, I believe God is saying to us through Paul that though we may not know exactly why God has put us where He has, rather than despising our current location, we must see that the Lord is at work. God never has a day off. He never goes on a sabbatical. God is always at work in the life of a Christian through the Holy Spirit. And people that we might never usually have opportunities to come into contact with can be reached
through our bold witness? Are we seizing every opportunity? Are we contagious in our Christianity? Well, muli ating i-recap ang unang dalawang punto. The gospel is gaining control. Ikalawa, the guards are getting converted. Pero ng pangatlo at panghuli, sa verse 14, the congregation are growing in confidence. The congregation are growing in confidence. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the words without fear. Without fear. Taong 1555, dalawang lingkod ng Diyos, dalawang reformer, sina Latimer at Ridley. Sila ay standing side by side na hinatulan ng kamatayan sa pamamagitan ng pagsunog sa plaza sa utos ni Bloody Mary dahil dalhin sa kanilang hindi pagtakwil at pagtalikod sa ating Panginoong Jesus. Ang bantay, ang executioner na nautusan magsindi ng apoy ay narinig niya sa sinasabihan ni Latimer ang kanyang kaibigan. He said this, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle in England as I trust shall never be put out." As far as dying words go, I think that's pretty good, don't you? I trust that God is doing something through this that will last for eternity. That's basically what he's saying. And it was true because it was from that spark. Ang pangyayaring ito ang naging simula ng dahang-dahan gawain ng reformation na aming bansang England. Maging hanggang sa henerasyon na ito, ang dalawang Kristiyanong martyrs ay nagiging malaking encouragement at halimbawa sa mga natitirang Kristiyanong iglesia sa aming bansa at sa iba't ibang panig ng mundo to declare the gospel in the face of danger. If you've got a pen this morning, you got your cell phone on you, you might want to write this down because it's so important. Courage is contagious. And I mean that in a spiritual sense. Courage is contagious. When you are courageous for Christ, others become courageous for Christ. There's a domino effect on your faithful witness for Christ. Don't think that it's just me doing this for God. It's you also doing it for the good and the benefit of other believers becoming emboldened to speak for Christ. And hear the gospel that is spoken by Paul in his prison cell is not only advancing outside the Christian church, but also among the guards. It's overcoming the hostility of unbelievers. Do you see the twofold impact that his witness is having in and out the church? For believers as well as unbelievers, there is this growing understanding of the need for the gospel. Sa panahong din ito, ang mga empero ng Roma ay nagsisimula ng usigin na ang mga Kristiyano ayon sa kasaysayan. Si Haring Nero ay ginawang human torch ang mga Kristiyano sa kanyang garden palace. Ang mga ganitong balita ay nagbibigay takot sa mga taga-Filipos. The church had been getting all these kind of reports. They'd been hearing of all this persecution that is going on. And as they heard of Paul's experiences, many of them were beginning to think to themselves, we don't want to end up like that. We don't want to be another Christian statistic of martyrdom. Let's just keep our heads down. Let's just keep our mouths shut. And yet, as people begin to see just how influential Paul is being among the guards, they become emboldened to speak up. They say, actually, brothers, let's not barricade the doors, but let's move outside. And let's start witnessing. Now is the time for the gospel. And ang personal na karanasan ni Pablo sa kulungan, ang conversion ng gaganap sa mga bantay ng
bilangguan ang isang pang-encourage ni Pablo sa mga kapatirang dumadanas ng pag-uusik.
And they're beginning to say to one another something like, if Paul can do it under house arrest, then we can do it here on the outside. One man's faithful example is driving the whole church forwards. And previously, cowardly believers are becoming bold ambassadors for Jesus. You see, friends, when we witness for the Lord, it may not only be unbelievers that you are reaching, but there may be other believers around watching you as you witness and being spurred on to do the same. It starts, friends, with you. You must be the person. If there's no other person, you must be the one to become bold so that others might say, I want to be like him, or I want to be like her for Christ. Many of us can think of names and faces of men and women who have been a source of inspiration in our life. Maybe it's a well-known famous figure, or maybe it's a character in a book or a film. We've all got heroes. We've all got role models that we look up to. I was just in a friend's home just recently, and a teenager, she had pictures of BTS up on her wall. And you know, BTS? You've heard of them. Other heroes for them, music artists or actors or famous figures from history. There are many people that you and I look up to today. But I have to ask you, if you're a Christian this morning, can you think of people who have ignited a flame in your heart towards evangelism and witness for Christ in the world? I'm not just talking about role models, I'm talking about Christian examples. And if you're drawing a blank, if you can't think of anyone in your life like that, let me encourage you to pick up a missionary biography. I've just been reading a missionary biography of someone who many of you will have heard of, Brian Ellis, the pastor, previous pastor at CRBC, and the work that God did through his witness. And there are many other examples. John Payton, if you've not heard of that man, you need to go and research him. He's a great example for Christians today of faithful witness in the face of danger. And there are many, many others that you can read. Or if you want to go closer to the Bible, then you just read the book of Acts. Or you talk to believers, mature people in the faith within this church. And you examine yourself by the light of their example. And you've got to ask the question, is that me? Is there any likeness within me of that bold believer? Am I that kind of Christian? Have I got people in my life that I'm lighting up to witness for Jesus Christ? That's got to be one of our chief aims as the Church of Christ. Not only are we to be reaching the lost, but also we've got to be equipping others. We've got to be building up brothers and sisters, encouraging our fellow members to speak for Christ. So isang tanong, is there a contagious evangelistic chain in TNC? When I talk about contagious diseases, you'll suddenly get scared. You've got your masks on this morning. We've all experienced, haven't we, when something goes viral, a contagious, invisible disease. Well, I'm talking about a spiritual sense. Is there a contagious, healthy virus going around our church today? Well, this morning I've been pointing back. I've been trying to illustrate to you the courage of old believers. And we've seen it most especially through Paul's imprisonment in Philippians chapter 1. But friends, let us be resolved to follow in their footsteps, even if it means chains. And let us pray that God would advance his work of the gospel in the city of Metro Manila, as he did all those years before in the city of Rome.
Mga kapatid, tandaan natin na anumang pagsubok o paghihirap ang ating dinaranas bunga ng ating pananampalataya,
let us take heart.
Dahil ang ating Diyos ay gumagawa sa lahat ng bagay, para sa lahat ng ito ay para sa katagumpayan ng Ebanghelyo ni Kristo at ng kanyang kaluluwalhatian at sa kanyang mga minamahal. Amen.
Let's pray. Great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is only one who occupies the throne this morning, and that is our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that though many men and women in this present world may set themselves up as leaders, there is only one supreme sovereign leader, and that is our great God and Savior. And so we pray, Lord God, that whatever comes our way, whether it be storms or sunshine, that you would keep us faithful to the task of evangelism. Oh Lord, we pray that you would raise up men and women within this congregation at TNC who will become bold ambassadors for the faith. We pray that there would be more Pauls to come, that there would be more people who will say, Lord, wherever you have placed me, I will declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that through that witness, believers would become emboldened to speak up and sinners would be saved from the power of sin. And we pray this, Lord God, not because we are deserving, but because we come pleading the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we ask. Amen.